Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully Hanley.
You guys are ignorant and you're also naive.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score. Chicago's sports station.
What we know is Allen Robinson's coming to the Bears, and he's coming on a three-year deal, $42 million. Great deal for him. He is here to help Mitchell Trubisky be all that he can be. Because you know what? We are all Trubisky-centric. Get it? It's about the quarterback.
If you're Kevin White, does this resonate one way or the other with you?
As far as Kevin White is concerned, if he got anything...
I'm with you.
Would be great.
It'd be great.
But you can't be beholden to him.
If you're Kevin White, the player, you had a chip on your shoulder because people are, like you and I, saying whatever you got out of him, be great. If you get a great year out of him, that's fantastic.
Kevin White is more theoretical than actual player. Theoretically, it would be great to see Kevin White, and boy,
you have a tandem,
some great
right, yeah.
And he had this unbelievable ability to go get the ball when he was in college, and he could do everything. In reality, he's been injured since he got here, and what we've seen, the little snapshots have not been very good.
No.
So if his feelings are hurt that he's no longer the number one guy, well, he's never been the number one guy because he was never there.
Mully and Hanley.
Fruit and toot and fruit and.
I'm Ragnar. Pay me.
That's how I roll, buddy.
Start your day with the teams you know.
There is an old Chinese proverb which says, may you live in interesting times. And certainly it applies here. The Bears making their move, going out and getting a player. The key word, if you take a word away, the key word is playmaker. Bears need playmakers. Allen Robinson has been a playmaker.
Mully Hanley.
This is all tricky.
Here we go!
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is another glorious and wondrous morning in the fine city of Chicago, and the Bears are at work. It's team building, baby, and it's weaponry, and it's playmaker time. And they're getting it done. They're bringing in guys, and they're addressing huge problems, big holes.
We're fired up about that.
And we're all fired up about that. Now, here's the other side of the coin. The division's on the move.
Uh-oh.
You got the best team in the division making a move to get a quarterback. Now it's a division of quarterbacks. Everybody seems to have a quarterback. And the Packers are getting some weaponry to go with that quarterback, and they're getting a huge piece for the center of that defense. And, you know, they're not the only team. The Bears not the only team making their moves and improving in the division. The division, Bears getting better, division getting better.
Yeah, everyone on the move.
Is it possible, Brian, that the Bears actually have a winning season? They get to 9 wins. Is that humanly conceivable? And still finished last in their division for the fifth straight year.
Well, can you put a dent? Were they 0-6 in the division last year? Can you put a dent in that a little bit? Can you get that closer to 500? You're right. I mean, you look up what's going on up north, both Minnesota and Green Bay. Green Bay says goodbye to Jordy Nelson, but here comes Jimmy Graham.
How about not only do they say goodbye to Jordy Nelson, but the quarterback? A very moving Instagram post.
Oh man, that was from. I mean,
that wasn't just that's the way to say goodbye.
We had a couple of those. I mean, I thought the Jake Arrieta letter was note perfect.
Yeah,
and even when he continued on in his first press conference in Philly, I thought he walked that fine line very well. To give the nod to the championship Cubs past that made him who he is today. Without trying to knock the Phillies over the head with it or saying, well, you know, he said, I'm hope to bring that to this organization. Basically, he didn't say the organization needs like an overhaul and I'm here to show you how it's done. But,
and you know, I got to be honest with you. I get that. I understand. We've talked about this before. We talked about it in relation to Jeff Samardzija. You know, you had an opportunity to be a hero. You know, you got money. You got tons of money. You got generational wealth. You had an opportunity to be a legend
sure.
in your hometown effectively, right? And you chose the money. Jake, to a certain extent, had a chance to be to be a legend here.
Yep.
And if he is a legend.
His career started in earnest here, right?
That's really when his career started.
And
that's
he could have finished. And here's the thing. You mentioned Jeff Samardzija. He actually signed for less than Jeff Samardzija signed for with the Giants.
I know.
I mean, think about that. Jeff Samardzija, Jake Arrieta.
I know.
I mean,
Jeff Samardzija got more money. I mean, I guess a huge difference.
I mean, in his latest contract, not even the Jim Hendry don't go play football money.
No. that money made it. I mean, that money was unbelievable, yeah. The money that he had before he went to San Francisco.
Right.
And that's what he really knocked
now,
it out of the park.
I'm sure Scott Boras will immediately point, well, he can make 135. Well, okay, let's see how that plays out.
Yeah.
But no, I thought, Aaron Rodgers, the send off to Jordy Nelson, it's a business. And when we look at it with cold, hard, steely eyes a lot of times, what have you done for me lately? But you realize when, first of all, how long have those guys been together? In the NFL with free agency and being cut and everything else.
That's a great point.
Anyway, and I'm sure Aaron Rodgers paid attention to the Kirk Cousins contract. Every dime of it guaranteed.
Oh, boy.
Every dime
of it guaranteed.
Aaron's going to get his.
And we'll talk about it, and we'll talk to people about it. But, you see a contract like that, Brian, that changes the league. That is a league-altering contract where every dime of the contract is guaranteed. That's not something you see in the National Football League.
No.
The signing bonus is the guarantee.
You've heard
now again. It's a 3-year deal, right?
Right.
So he'll be back in good stead once more. Of course, if he does well, they can always give him the old Washington treatment. Just keep tagging him. I mean, Kirk Cousins. Well, God bless him.
The tag just went
up
too.
That's a guy making a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's a guy whose career has been really.
Yeah,
the average of the top five quarterbacks in the league, pretty much.
So he just made sure that the average went up too.
That's right. Yeah, he gained himself a little bit. Yeah,
but for all the talk, for every CBA, we should really get those guaranteed contracts that baseball has, and then of course they're never going to.
I think the league would love to do 3-year deals guaranteed.
Really?
I don't think they do. I think that. For a guy like that.
For a guy like that, not universally.
Oh, God, no.
No, that's what I'm saying.
No. I'm saying, but for a quarterback, to bring a quarterback in on a 2-3-year deal, okay, we'll give you all the money.
Sure.
Come here. A proven guy, when you got a Super Bowl defense and you got a good running back game and all you need.
But every time the CBA is up and you hear that, we're going to get those guaranteed. Why do baseball players have guaranteed contracts when we're putting our limbs on the line every day, and eventually the players are not going to walk out on strike and miss paychecks to force that issue. Like, how many sunsets do you have in football,
That's
right?
That's it, yeah. So it's,
you like that?
Oh, you like that?
Well, I put a hat on someone when you hear that. Go on. Go ahead and put a
you
hat
see
on
that
someone.
He has his own film crew documenting his free agent journey?
Yeah, Kirk Cousins has his own film crew that is like at his house and everything while he's deciding where to go. It's good because Tom Brady's got his, the Brady files, whatever the hell it is, where he's, going over, he had to break the news to the kids that they lost. Yeah, that game you were at that we lost, we actually lost. Sometimes in life you lose.
Would you hear the final episode of that? Spoiler alert, he asked three deep questions, which got everyone in New England worried that this is his farewell season upcoming. Why are we doing this? Why do we continue to do this? Do we really basically still want to do this? And he was doing the rounds with Colbert and everything else.
He chugged a beer.
Yeah.
But that's Samuel Beckett. I can't go on. I must go on. I will go on.
But he didn't say that.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
That's the way I heard it.
He said, I'll have a beer and call it a day. Last call.
Yeah. I didn't hear that.
I was pretty good beer chugger back in the day.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if Tom, finishes playing? His body's a temple. Then, he finishes.
He's got this beard.
It takes him, 6 months. Hey, yeah. He's like a character from The Simpsons.
Yeah, losing his hair. He's got this beer gut. And he's like,
let me apply some lotion first.
I love donuts. I love beer.
The Bulls fall to the Clippers, 112-106. Lauri Markkanen sits out. He's got a back.
Oh, boy.
Lauri Markkanen apparently had a driver's test. He had to get his driver's license, so he had a driver's test, and then he had to drive to the facility, and all that driving and testing flared up the back. I'd imagine it was probably a combination of – apparently they made him – get his license in a compact car, or apparently he's gone eco-friendly. I don't know how a guy that size doesn't have a car that would, you know, accommodate him, but I think you'd have to have a specially designed car. I told you back in the day when I was at Loyola, we would sometimes, my freshman year, we practiced by Angel Guardian, and that's where the Bulls were at the
right.
time.
Yeah, that was their training facility.
So,
yeah.
So Artis Gilmore, you would see Artis Gilmore, like a little sports car, like flashy sports car would pull up. And the door would open, and Artis Gilmore would get out of the back seat. He had removed the front seat of the car and sat in that little area in the back so he could work the gears and everything because he was 7 feet tall. To watch a man unfold himself from a small car, you just couldn't help but think, like, God, they got to make a big car.
Do you think Lowry had to stand at the DMV? Do you have to go in line and stand there?
Oh, it's awful.
Take a number?
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, I've been through it.
Does he get special treatment? Do the Bulls arrange? Or, hey, well, he's an athlete. In and out of here in 15 minutes.
My daughter turns 16 today.
Oh, so happy birthday.
It's Caitlin Ann gets her driver's license if she wants it, but she hasn't. We're not doing it today.
But she doesn't want it.
No one wants to go to the DMV.
Yeah, Molly just told her, you don't want that.
But
it's overrated.
Well, my parents wouldn't let us get driver's license till we're 17, okay? Myself and my two older brothers. Think about that. When you're that age and all you want to do is maybe meet a girl and go out, do some necking in the back of a car somewhere, you can't get a car.
Well, here's the problem.
You can't drive.
We have one car. It was a family station wagon. Mm-hmm. And which,
so like y'all had to go together.
I mean,
I didn't have a license. Well, my mom, that's a bigger problem.
My mom and dad had 9 kids. My mom was usually going to the grocery store 3 or 4 times a week just to make sure everyone was fed. You had to reserve the car like 3 weeks out and then fight your older brother for it if your parents weren't going on a date night,
That's hysterical.
Yeah.
You had one car for the whole bunch of you.
Yes.
You
didn't the have old Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser. Yeah.
We didn't have driver's licenses, but at least we had 2 cars. When I was a kid,
that's good.
We lived in a shoebox in the middle of the road, and we woke up 2 hours before we went to bed to lick the road clean.
That impresses the
girls.
We'd
have killed for a shoebox.
Yeah, that impresses the girls at homecoming. Hey, here's the station wagon. Let's go.
No, it's like, hey, you want to go to homecoming? Great. Can you get a car?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, indeed. It's time for the 5 at 5. It's Mully and Hanley at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This segment sponsored by CeCe's New Crust, New Sauce, New York Style Pizza. Now at CeCe's, grab an extra large slice of their new meatball pepperoni pizza and the new cheesecake brownies. Do that for dessert. There's so much to love on the buffet, and it's just 5 and change, and it's only at CeCe's. Prices vary. Restrictions apply.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hanley. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley starts now.
How much better have the Bears become in the last 24 hours, and what does it tell you about the team's future?
Future's bright. Future is bright. I think that the Bears have gotten a lot better in the last 24 hours because they've got a receiving core and they got a field goal kicker, right? And if you look at what's going on in the league, in the division, they got a cornerback returning too, so they have their corners, their starting corners will return to a division with Aaron Rodgers healthy and Matthew Stafford there and Kirk Cousins coming in. You better have cornerbacks if you're going to play in the NFC North. So it was a good day for the Chicago Bears. In terms of the near future, I think it sort of tells us that that if the Notre Dame offensive lineman is not there, if the guard is not there, and I had a guy tell me, you know my stance on guards, Brian. You've heard me go on about the value of the position and how when you draft, you need to get someone that can score a touchdown or stop a touchdown. And I had a guy tell me that this kid will be a Pro Bowler in his first year, and he's a Hall of Fame player.
Wow!
If you draft him, you're getting a Hall of Fame
decades worth of excellence.
And I don't know that you have to balance that in when you start talking about the value of a position. If you can lock up a guy that is, you know, going to help your pass defense, your passing game, certainly going to help your running game.
Are we still on the Aaron Cromer in New Orleans? The interior of the line is more important than the tackles.
Where did Pacer come from?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's Aaron Cromer. That means Aaron Cromer told us the philosophy that Sean Payton believes in, and presumably his former barista believes in it too.
Wow.
So we'll find out. But I would say that it tells me that they're going defense, right? I think they're going to have to try to get more help with the pass rush, and I think they're going to have to do it maybe even by kind of creating a player, by taking a guy that people see as an inside guy, but they see traits in him and they move him outside and they do it that way. But I would say that that would be one of my – I think they're a better offensive team today than they were yesterday. They got the kicker, which they had to have. We haven't talked enough about that, but that is – they were left absolutely empty at that position, and you bring in a guy that made 21 of 23 last year for the Dolphins and Cody Parkey, and you add wide receivers. You get Taylor Gabriel from the Falcons. Obviously, the headliner is Allen Robinson, and free agency will be viewed as how he's viewed, but you also Trey Burton is a guy that is a good pass-catching tight end. You got another weapon in the passing game, and I would say it was a great day for the Chicago Bears. Again, free agency is designed to give you quick fixes, not as a long-term building method. So this is not the greatest way to go about building a team, but they had plenty of money and bully for them. They had a good day.
Yeah, look, if you can't be optimistic yesterday, then, again, you're not really going to be on board with anything they do. They did what they could do. They did it quickly. They spent the money they had, or a good portion of it. They obviously upgraded because, guess what? You were last in pretty much every receiving category in the NFL last year. So the fact that you got a couple receivers, the fact you got another tight end, and you know whether he's a younger, more athletic Zach Miller, we'll wait and see. I mean, he's the third tight end in Philly. I know that he was upset, or he said on WIP in Philly that he was disappointed that the Eagles didn't even make an offer. You know, basically didn't even get in the game and give him any kind of contract to mull over, and that he really wanted to stay there, but you know, then said he's excited to be with the Bears in Trey Burton. But when your wide receivers and tight ends had 193 receptions, tied for last in the league, 2,354 yards, last in the league, 10 receiving touchdowns, last in the league, there's only one direction to go. So they improved themselves. Now, Super Bowl, Super Bears, no, Molly, you mentioned the division. I mean, everyone's just not staying flat-footed. You know, the Vikings believe they're a Super Bowl-winning team if they get a quarterback. So they went out and spent on the quarterback. Aaron Rodgers, if healthy, we know what the Packers do. They're the top of the division each and every year. Right now, you're trying to build a foundation and get in the game and get out of last place. And there's no guarantees that happened yesterday. But if you're not optimistic, I heard a caller on with Dan Bernstein yesterday saying, you know, okay, you know, good, they got Allen Robinson. And you know, what happens if Mitch Trubisky's no good? What's their backup plan? I mean, if that's right, that the quarterback's not going to be any good, well, 3 years from now, then you got to start from scratch again. It's another rebuild, and everyone will want the McCaskies to sell. But if you're thinking that way yesterday, you're really not going to be enjoying the process or trusting it.
They're a little better. We all love the Allen Robinson signing. The other ones are nice. Taylor Gabriel, he's a different player than Kendall Wright. Is he a massive upgrade? I don't know. I'm interested to see how he's going to be used in this offense. I think I like the Trey Burton move. He wasn't on the field a ton for Philly, but when he was, the guy made plays. But he also had, until he was injured, the MVP of the league as his quarterback. And they had Zach Ertz and Brent Selk, so it was tough for him to get as many snaps as probably he would have liked. I like that signing, too. And, okay, you got a kicker. We all knew you were going to get a kicker. Congratulations on getting a kicker. They have the worst quarterback in the NFC North still. And I still think they're the worst team in the NFC North. I don't know what the Lions are doing. They're not doing anything right now. I wonder what their long-term plan is. But just, I've talked about again and again the big picture of the NFC, even branching out past the NFC North, and the Bears are definitely better. You can't argue otherwise, but there are a dozen teams in the NFC better.
It's a real negative take, Joe. I don't really like where you're coming from here. You're raining all over my Bears parade. The NFL is a copycat league. We all understand that. It looks like, given the results of last year's Super Bowl, the Bears would like to try to recreate something that looks a little bit like that. Hopefully, if they can make the leap, quarterback-wise that Carson Wentz made from year one to year two, they'll be all set. But I think that's asking a little bit too much from Trubisky. But they are surrounding him with very solid weapons. They've got now, hopefully, two tight ends that are going to be able to catch the ball. They've got their number one wideout. They've got Gabriel, who can be a more athletic guy in the slot than Kendall Wright was. And now it's kind of getting me more a little bit excited for the draft as well, because, Mully, you said you can't just do one thing. You have to do it all if you want this team to get better. Looks like they've done pretty well so far in free agency. Looking forward to the draft next month already. Wow.
They've gotten better. There's no doubt about it. I'm confused about tight end, though. If there was one thing that was confusing, that's a lot of money for a guy who's just kind of a guy, really athletic, but is he really a tight end? It's interesting. I'll leave it.
You know, it's a really good topic of conversation, Dustin. I'm glad you brought it up because, you know, when you really look at what they did, they invested in tight end last year.
Isn't it every year?
But they really made a commitment, right? Deion Sims got $18 million over 3 years, right?
Yeah.
And they went ahead and drafted a guy. That's a high draft pick on a guy. And I don't know what you had, but they apparently knew they needed to go get their tight end in free agency this year. So what does that say to you?
I figured that'd be a early question this morning.
Can you rank the Bears' other reported agreements Tuesday? Receiver Taylor Gabriel, kicker Cody Parkey, corner Prince Amukamara, and Sam Acho.
You know, the kicker Cody Parkey, long-term, further out, will be important when you're ready to win, assuming he's still part of this team. But I don't know that many game-winning kicks are going to be on the line this year. Here's hoping, but I'm not sure that's going to be the case. In fact, I think it's Prince Amukamara is the top of my list because we know that he came here on a one-year prove-it contract. He's now got a three-year contract. We know that teams continue to test Kyle Fuller and throw away from Amukamara, so that tells me the league respects what he was doing and what he's capable of doing on the field. And all the stats said he was pretty good, and so he stabilized the cornerback position such as it is. You can match an offer for Kyle Fuller, but you know for sure you're going to have Amukamara and likely have Kyle Fuller. And if you can't do much to improve the front of the defense this offseason, you better start having a pretty stable back end of the defense. And so I would go Amukamara. I would go Taylor Gabriel just because Moore is better when it comes to wide receivers since you didn't have anything. And then Sam Acho and then the kicker.
Yeah, I think that I think it's interesting. Amukamara hasn't had a pick in 2 years, and how many does he have for his career? He is not a playmaking corner, but he is a guy that is a good defender, and he's a pro, and he knows how to play, and I'm glad they brought him back. I thought it was important to bring him back, but he doesn't intercept the ball. He doesn't make big plays at the cornerback position, and you know, you need to make some plays on defense too. I think that given where they are with their division and the improvement, 7 picks for his career, Prince Amukamara. And how long is that career? It's been around a while.
This will be his 8th season, so he's right on pace for 1 this year.
Yeah, that's
next year.
I'm just saying that's not kind of what you thought of when you think about it, but you know. Does he force fumbles? Does he get the ball? You know, these are things, if you want to talk about Pro Bowl corners, it's not just about being able to shut a guy down. But in the division with the quarterbacks improving and for a team that has one pass rusher, didn't they basically expel all pass rushers? I guess, did they consider Sam Acho a pass rusher? I don't. So I think they have a huge hole and a huge need to get a pass rusher, and I think they're going to have to do that early in the draft. They're either going to have to get one or they're going to have to create one. They can get a pass rush specialist later on in the draft. But I think that, you know, you look at what they did. To me, it all comes down to, you know, Allen Robinson and whether if he can be a number one, then everybody else falls into place. I like some of the moves that they've made. I think they're trying to get playmakers and surround the quarterback with some people that can catch the ball and can do some things to help them. They're a better offense today than they were last year. You'd still like to see them get some depth and some help on that offensive line. But I think, you know, it's defense if I'm looking at the draft. And, yeah, I like some of the moves they made. I suppose the most important one, you know, I know we don't care about kickers, and I know all that stuff doesn't matter. Kickers lose games for you. We saw that last year. They lost games because of the kicker.
Carlos Santos.
Yes. Yeah,
if the kicker were healthy and good and able to make a couple kicks, would John Fox still be here? You could actually look at it because it was, you know, the difference in a couple, three games. So I think the kicker is a big deal. You got to do well on special teams in this league. I will say, though, that getting Prince back is a big deal.
Of these four signings, Gabriel Mukamara, Parkey, and Acho, I'd put Gabriel first. I'm really intrigued how he's going to be used in this offense. And I'm hoping that Mully will take Gabriel and put him in his pocket right next to Darren Sproles.
Yeah, 5'8"? Was he 5'8"?
You're going to have him and, yeah, 5'8".
Does he get a few nicknames, too?
Dustin's going to get mad at me, okay? Because I said the guy was so little I wanted to steal him and put him in my pocket. I felt I could get out of the locker room with him.
Tariq has, what, four different nicknames? Do we have the human joystick? Does Taylor come with anything?
Yeah, let them up on the same side of the field, Cohen and
oh,
but these, this coaching staff likes players like that,
right.
And that's why it's a big deal, Joe. It's a good point.
Gabriel's 2 inches taller, but Cohen has about 20 pounds on him, so it might be an even matchup.
What Mully mentioned about the lack of interceptions, zero back-to-back seasons for Mukamara is why I have him second, and yeah, Parkey third and Acho fourth because of lack of impact by Acho.
Great guy, though.
My list is
great stuff.
Is Parkey Hot Dog still on Harlem? Is it? Just wondering.
I think so.
Haven't been there.
My list is the exact same order as yours, Joe. I think Gabriel is interesting. You know, he hasn't really put up huge numbers. Did have 6 touchdowns, I believe, for Atlanta the year Matt Ryan won MVP. So that was the most prolific season for him. But I like his potential. I think he's an interesting cog in this offense. I'll put a Mukamara second, Parkey third, and then Acho fourth.
Yeah, I think you guys kind of got it right, the last few guys that went in the order. Gabriel's very interesting. And Nagy and that offensive staff have said all the right things. Now if they can teach it and get it going into motion, that's going to be the next thing. Sam Acho, really nice guy. Prince of Mukamara, Mully, I think you nailed it. Mully, I think you also nailed it on the kicker, right? I mean, it's important. when you're a fan, and Brian, you're right too. Like, in the law, when they're going to win, then you really worry about the kicker. But when you win a couple games or lose a couple games that you feel like you should have won instead of not losing,
yeah,
and
you don't want a losing
kicker,
culture developing.
Yeah, that's a problem. So the kicker is important. I've never heard of him.
Carlos Santos.
No. Name's easier to say.
You gotta have answers to those questions, and they have to be with a lot of conviction.
Jesus. Does Kirk Cousins signing in Minnesota mean the Bears won't be winning the NFC North anytime soon?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, here's the thing. It was a couple years ago that the Vikings were, what, 8-8? They were a 500 team because every time you turned around, the quarterback's leg would blow up or somebody would have. I mean, it was just insane what they went through. And they tried to solidify the quarterback position, and here they go again, right? And Case Keenum was a kind of a one-year wonder, but obviously they judged him to be a one-year wonder. So he's gone. All of their quarterbacks are signed elsewhere, which really tells you about quarterback play in this league. So Kirk Cousins coming in should be able to stabilize the most important position on the field for a team that has been, frankly, cursed at that position. I mean, you think this is, the Bears have gone through this. What the Vikings have gone through to build a defense the way they have, to have one of the best defenses in football. They switched out their running game, and they did fine doing that. They've improved their offensive line. The quarterback position has been a real problem for them. And I think that, I think again, the Bears could conceivably have a winning season and still be in last place in the division because quarterback play so essential in the NFL. And Aaron Rodgers is back and healthy. Kirk Cousins comes into the league. Matthew Stafford, it's hard to remember, but I think once upon a time, he was the highest paid quarterback in football. Like maybe, oh, I don't know, last year.
For a few months.
It's a long way away.
Yeah.
But I think quarterback play is very important. And I think for the Bears, the problem they have is they're playing catch up and there are teams ahead of them, quite frankly.
Yeah, look, even if Kirk Cousins didn't sign with Minnesota, the Bears won't be winning the NFC North anytime soon. That's just reality. I mean, Matt Nagy basically told you when he heard Jordan Howard on the NFL Network talking about, you know, a winning season, a playoff season, he's like walking that back because he knows this is – there's a reason – there's a whole host of reasons why you've been in the basement for 4 years in the division. And I know that you can go from the outhouse to the penthouse, and 25% of the teams in the league can do that on an average year. Here's hoping. But I don't think many of us should be holding our breath. It baby steps. You got to crawl before you walk. You get to 8-8, get to a winning season. You know, maybe flirt with the idea of competing for a wild card in the final month of a season. That's going to take a couple of years. So Kirk Cousins, you know, and now you've got Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers and, you know, is Joseph, and, you know.
Is Prince the oldest guy on the team now? I mean, is he the oldest guy on the team? I mean,
he's
they
up there,
are
right?
So young.
Yeah.
He's younger than Kyle Long by a year.
Oh, is that
year,
right?
Actually.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, Trey Burton's 26, right?
So, yeah, so is the kicker, I think, he's like 25, 26.
Long's
right?
29, Mukamara's 28.
Yeah.
Okay, so Sam Acho, how old is Sam? I mean, I'm just saying. This is a team that's building. 29 as well.
Yeah.
This is a team that is building not for this year, but for next year.
No, Kirk Cousins is not the reason. Aaron Rodgers and the Vikings defense is the reason the Bears won't be winning the division anytime soon. But I do think Minnesota did upgrade. Even at one point last year, we were talking about Case Keenum, and it was legitimate whether or not he could be an MVP candidate.
That's right.
Pat Shurmur got a head coaching gig out of his performance up in Minnesota last year.
Sure did.
Even if they don't win the Super Bowl or get to the Super Bowl, I think Kirk Cousins is an upgrade. But until proven otherwise, distant fourth right now as far as quarterbacks in the NFC North at the Bears.
I will never understand the Kirk Cousins thing. He is an above-average quarterback, but the way that he's kind of been fought over by all of these teams tugging at his arms and his legs to try to get him under center for their
offense. You sound like the Redskins GM. Yeah,
he's
bad-mouthing him.
He's fine. He's slightly above average. There are probably 8 to 10 other quarterbacks I'd take over Kirk Cousins. So, like Joe, I don't think it's going to be him that gets them over the hump. It'll be the defense. It'll be the running back coming back. It'll be all the offensive weapons they have surrounding Kirk Cousins. And Jimmy Graham is going to be very, very interesting to watch up in Green Bay as well. So the rest of the division, maybe Detroit. You know, they haven't done anything yet. Matt Patricia is unproven as a head coach in this league. The Bears might be able to leapfrog them this season if everything clicks, but still some ways to go to get into that upper echelon.
Yeah, there's a ways to go. Now, you know, I heard an interesting take, I don't know if it was last night or this morning, I forget, I get confused sometimes, but the idea that could Kirk Cousins' deal split up a locker room? I mean, the Vikings were what, Mully? Like a play or two away, right, from going to the Super Bowl, hosting the Super Bowl, right, in their home stadium with Case Keenum, right?
Didn't they get blown out in that championship game, NFC championship game? They got beaten pretty good.
But I'm saying, like, they were a play away from hosting.
Oh, from hosting
the NFC title game.
Yes,
and I think things may
that's
have
right.
been different. Yes, they were blown. Yes,
that's right.
And then Case Keenum
and
he was very popular in the locker room.
Right,
too, right?
And Case was popular. Like, could these defensive guys? They all know everybody knows what everybody makes. And if they don't know, their agent knows. And if their agent doesn't know, their girlfriend and the baby mom and the wife know, okay? Everybody knows what everybody
honestly,
makes.
Honestly, Dustin, to answer your question, if you're asking it, quarterbacks are different. Quarterbacks, you know, a third of the team is going to love them because they're the quarterback and you're trained to love the quarterback. A third of the team is going to hate them for the reasons that you just said. And a third of the team is going to be the swing vote as to whether he's popular or not. And if they win, which they'll win, then he'll be popular. And
but if people, they lose because all of a sudden he starts turning the ball over, all of a sudden they start asking more of him.
I don't think they'll do that.
They usually, they're a caretaker type offense at the quarterback
at this
position.
Point.
Right, but now because you're paying the guy, all of a sudden now he shouldn't be caretaker.
But
now we need to push the ball down the field.
I think he's a better player than the other guy.
Mm.
Yeah. It's not that, guys, he's a pretty good player.
It's all right.
Did Elway then jump on Keenum because he's cheaper?
He jumped on him because of the options available.
Yeah, you know, Sam Bradford.
Yes.
Well, I mean,
Arizona? Arizona?
Yeah.
And Teddy Bridgewater signed with the Jets.
But, I mean, didn't the Broncos?
My God,
doesn't the Broncos' money spend as well as the Vikings' money? I mean, when it came to Kirk Cousins, John Elway didn't have his phone number to dial him up, or did he just want the cheaper version?
I think they made overtures and they wanted to get him, and they realized they weren't going to get him.
Hmm.
I think that was a fait accompli.
I'll have to wait for the documentary.
Because ditto, yes, because ditto, the same thing happened in Arizona. They were hoping to get him. You know, these teams are now hitting the draft looking for the future.
Would you rather go to Minnesota or Denver? Both great defenses, both nice weapons at receiver. Very similar teams.
It's a great point.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? If I'm looking to win, I might think you have a better shot with the Broncos. And just because of the division, because
AFC's,
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, weaker.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for the question, George.
Should the Bulls consider...
King of all update, guys.
Should the Bulls consider shutting down Lauri Markkanen for the season?
Oh, you know, what do they got, 15 games left?
Yeah.
I wouldn't dismiss it out of hand. It's not just because I'm with Dustin, you know, thinking everyone should be shut down and you roll a ball out and no one plays because you're just trying to lose. I Markkanen looks tired. It looks like he's hit a rookie wall. And now the back issues, you know, has surfaced, for a fourth time. That alone might give me a reason to discuss it. But I think he needs to be sat down because of the back. And also, I think Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine need to develop something. And just like Markkanen and Dunn had like 2-3 weeks in December where that's what it should look like, and they seem to be simpatico and seem to know exactly what the other guy was doing and where it was going to be. And, I mean, I think maybe you take one of the core three out of the mix, and I think we know what Markkanen is as a player, and he's only going to get better. I would like to see what Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn can do if it's just the two of them out there. And you get the byproduct of Lauri Markkanen addressing this thing before it becomes an annual issue, even at his young age of, 21? So I think the Zach LaVine up and down roller coaster we're seeing and the really off shooting nights more often than not the last couple weeks, to me, that I'd like to see what the garden and he can get going before the season's over.
Boy, it's a tough one because there is a rookie wall, and you know you need to know about what an NBA season takes out of you. You need to understand the grind of it. You need to get through an NBA season. I don't think his back is that bad. I think he's had back problems. He's a 7-foot guy. He's got a back, and these things happen. I mean, it's not surprising. The kid's had an extraordinarily long season. Because he played in the international stuff and he did all that world basketball stuff. That made his offseason even shorter. And he started right away because of injuries on this team and established himself quickly in the league. I think that my impulse would be to let him finish out the season. That's just kind of the way that I look at it. I don't think there's great value in it. You could talk me out of it in 5 minutes. But I just think that...
And you get to tell Adam Silver, hey, he's got an injury, he's not playing.
Right. Well, that would be fun to do, and it would be fun to help the tank. But the tank's helpless.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now it's about...
Ship has sailed.
Yeah, it's about guys getting along, getting together, and I think there's value in him finishing out a year just to understand, you know, here's the marathon that you're facing again next year, son. Figure out what you got to do in the offseason.
If healthy, I want Markkanen on the court the last 15 games. We've talked about it throughout the season. Hasn't played much with Dunn and LaVine, and that's clearly the future. Get used to the idea with the Bulls with the 9th worst record, not the 8th worst record. They're only a half a game better than the Knicks, who have lost 16 of 17. The 8th spot, 8th worst record, they have a 9.9% chance of getting a top 3 pick, but the 9th worst record has a 6.1% chance of a top 3 pick. So that's where the Bulls' hope lies.
Yeah, as much as I'd like to see more of Noah Vonleh and his display from three-point land last night, that was something. I don't think they should shut down Lauri Markkanen. Like Joe just said, you have to see him and Dunn and LaVine play together because it hasn't looked good when all three of them have been out there. And the more game time, even if it is March here and the team is clearly tanking, you still want to see those three try to develop some kind of rapport. So I would not shut him down.
They can work on that at practice. Yes, I would shut him down. And I also think it's important for Dunn and LaVine to work together, as Brian pointed out. I mean, Mully, I'm with you too. I could be talked out of it, of course, but I could see why this makes sense. Plus, it could help the tank a little bit. I mean, I know we're joking about it, and you guys are probably right that the tank's already fallen off the rails. But every little bit helps, and if he's got it back, then let him sit out. I don't know. I think the chemistry will improve. I'm still worried about Zach. I mean, he had a line. His line was like Campaign's last night.
Campaign actually
shot better than Zach last night.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm worried about Zach.
This is a very important question.
As Almora Jr. starts to hit, how would you line up the Cubs outfield, and how will Joe Maddon?
Yeah, I think that that I would try to figure out a way. To me, Ian Happ has to play. And if you got Almora locked in as a guy that – I think Joe's going to have the two of them splitting time in center field. I don't think that's a great idea. I think Almora should play center field, and we should find out if he can hit. I think Ian Happ's played well enough to be the leadoff guy, and I think it helps you. I think they've got enough power in the lineup that they can carry Jay Hay. I think what Joe's going to do is going to have Jay Hay in left field and Schwarbs in right field, and then they're going to basically platoon center field between the other two guys. I think he'll do it righty-lefty, etc., even though Ian Happ is a switch hitter. So I think that's what he'll end up doing. I think that that's probably what I would do to open the season, but I would have a short leash. And if Hayward weren't hitting and I didn't feel like that was going to work out, I might use him as a late-inning defensive guy and go ahead and kind of platoon him and Schwarber. It's a really interesting situation because I think you got two young players platooning because they're young players, and I think you got two other guys platooning. One guy's got the big bat, the other guy's got the big glove. If you could somehow meld them into one, you'd have one of the greatest players in baseball. You'd have a Hall of Fame player, but you can't do that. Last I checked, the geneticists say that you can't do any splicing yet.
One day.
One day.
We're not
one
that far off.
One day we'll get there. Soon enough. Yeah, but not in this generation.
Chicago clones.
So the Chicago clones, I like it. So I think that you kind of have to be a little bit patient. I think Joe will be. I think you do. I think, you know, Hayward's contract is a powerful mechanism, and you understand that he's going to be here for a long time because guess what? He's not opting out, and they're not going to be able to trade him anytime soon. So I would try to make it work the way that Joe's going to make it work. I also wouldn't give up on Schwarber. I think that Schwarber gives you great power and can, you know, we saw him be having huge, huge moments in big moments, and that tells you a lot about a person. So I would try to make sure that I was helping him. He's lost the weight, you know. Now he gets a chance to learn the position because he's been had a hard time dealing with other things. I would leave him alone for a little while and see what you got out of him. But I do think that the problem here is Happ is pushing you pretty hard, and now Almora will push you as well. And it's tough because both guys deserve to play, but there's nothing wrong with having an abundance of talent. I would go with it the way that Joe's going to do it, frankly.
Yeah, Joe's going to be Joe. Happ could be on the Mount Rushmore of spring training hitters. You know, they'd be carving his face into the mountain because of what he's been doing. That's not going to change. And you know what? And to some degree, it can't change. Are you going to protect Kyle Schwarber against lefties again like you were doing last season? Or do you try to give him a confidence boost?
I think you let him go for a
little. Let him go, right? Just like we're going to have to let Jay Hay go. At the beginning of the season, yes. I think all bets are off. You got to try to get these guys who struggled last year mightily and for Hayward a couple seasons, you got to try to get them going. Now, I don't know if it's
just cheer for any kind of hit for that guy.
Right. And as much as Almora is starting to hit righties, I think he's just only going to be there against lefties. And if it comes to the point a month into this thing where you're sitting Schwarber against lefties again, Happ's going to be out in left field too. How would he play 27 games out there?
Yeah, and they'll move him to second. Right. He'll do the whole Joe thing, and he'll throw Zoe out in the outfield.
Start the season, you're going to have Hayward in right, Schwarber in left pretty much every day, and then it's going to be Happ and Almora splitting the time, and Zobrist will get in occasionally right.
He'll get himself.
Yeah, the mind will tell you. So, I mean, I don't think, no matter what Happ has been doing, and impressive as it's been, I don't think that's going to weigh on Joe at all. He's not just going to say, you know, he goes, we goes. He's Dexter Fowler. It's not going to happen.
If contracts weren't involved, it would be Schwarber in left, Almora in center, and Happ in right field every single day. But that's not how it's going to work. Against a lot of righties, we're going to see Schwarber, Happ, and Hayward outfield is what I expect. And against a lot of lefties, Zobrist. He's going to play sometimes, and he's definitely going to have Elmore every time a lefty's out there. Maybe Happ, and then sometimes he'll sit Schwarber and Hayward against lefties, and then once in a while he won't. He'll just decide he doesn't want to do that. He wants to get guys in the lineup.
Schwarber, Elmora, and Happ, all high draft picks, all guys that have shown flashes of being able to be all-stars in this league. I think they're doing them a disservice not getting those three guys in the lineup as much as possible. Forget Jason Hayward. He's had two full seasons to try to break out of it and justify his salary at some point. You have to say it's hurting the team, and you put him on the bench. So I don't think Joe is going to subscribe to that. He's got his guys. He's got Zobrist. He's got Hayward. They will play probably more than they ought to. But in my mind, you have to have Schwarber, Elmore, and Happy out there every day.
All right, so the key part of the question, this is for me, is how would you line up the Cubs outfield? Schwarber in left, Elmora in center, Chris Bryant in right field, Ian Happ at second base, and Javi Baez at third base.
Wow.
That's me. If I was in charge. I, of course, am not in charge. Maybe people are happy about that. I'm sure the texters are. How will it go? Schwarber will be in left. Elmora and Happ will platoon in center field. Unfortunately, Hayward's going to play start to finish every day. I think it'd be fine to be a defensive replacement. That's how Madden will run things. It'll all be based on matchups.
312-644-6767. What do you think? We've had our thoughts. What are yours? Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.